Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Hitesh Hathi. We're about to talk art, but before we get into it, a warning. The subject is mature and sexually graphic, so please take that into account, especially if you're listening with children. We're talking about the case of Nicholas Nixon. He's the nationally acclaimed photographer who retired from the Massachusetts College of Art and Design last month, shortly before the school publicly announced an investigation into allegations that he acted inappropriately with students. I want to note that when we first aired the story, we said Nixon had resigned. In fact, he had retired, and we've corrected our copy. Our guest host, Jill Kaufman, picks up the story.
Nixon is best known for a series of portraits called The Brown Sisters. They're beautiful. They're of his wife and her three sisters, and they were taken every year since the 1970s. The allegations against Nixon range from sending inappropriate emails to some of his female subjects, to assigning his students to take pictures of people's genitalia, and to critiquing photos of Nixon's own genitals. Some mass art students say those assignments intended to push artistic boundaries, but others say they went right through those boundaries. Here, Nixon talks about his artistic process. This is part of an exhibition at the Institute of Contemporary Art in Boston.
Photographing the people is hard psychologically. I have to be a kind of Don Juan, but I have to be polite and kind and completely honest and transparent. And so if I'm photographing the pictures of couples, I go into a room with them, and in an hour, I have to get them to give as much feeling and sometimes as much nakedness as they're willing to give in a short time. And I have to have them feel good about it.
That video was up at the ICA. That and the rest of Nixon's ICA exhibition was taken down shortly after the allegations of his inappropriate behavior with students. WBUR arts reporter Maria Garcia is in the studio with us now to look not just at what's happening at Mass Art, but also to explore these ideas of sex and power and education in art. It's good to be with you. And it's been really interesting to learn about this topic with you and your reporting.
Hi, Jill. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
The experimental filmmaker Saul Levine also stepped down. That's after complaints from students who watched a film with graphic scenes of him having sex with his partner in class. Can you talk a little bit first about exactly what Nixon and Levine are accused of in a school setting?
Sure, Jill. So a Boston Globe investigation revealed Nixon allegedly asked students to actually analyze pictures of his own penis. He also allegedly assigned his students to photograph at least 10 penises and 10 vaginas, preferably of people they wanted to sleep with and found attractive, and encouraged his students to start with each other. He would also, according to the Globe, ask his undergraduate students to pose partially or fully nude for him. Nixon's lawyer says students posed consensually and signed written agreements with Nixon. And Jill, as for Saul Levine, he says he was pushed out after teaching at Mass Art for 39 years after showing a class his 1989 experimental film called Notes After Long Silence, and that film includes images of him having sex with his then partner, and students complained of having to sit through this film that showed his professor engaging in sexual acts.
So Saul Levine is out because of student complaints, and Nixon and the investigation began after the Boston Globes started hearing about this. Is that accurate?
So the Boston Globe started investigating months ago, and then the university announced last month. Saul Levine says he was pushed out because of the complaints by students.
So in other contexts, these actions would seem, or these assignments would seem rather extraordinary, that a professor showing students images of him having sex. But this, I understand, is the same, is not the same for everyone. Not everyone was surprised. In the name of art, you know, some even expect that these are acceptable ideas of assignments. In the name of art, which is an old phrase.
Right, Jill. So you have to understand that sex is a legitimate subject matter in art education. It's taken very seriously. It's a subject that's canonized and taught in an earnest fashion. We can go back, for example, you know, as early as the 1530s, you know, when Correggio painted Leda seduced by a swan, and how radical that was. And even in contemporary art, I mean, you just don't have to dig that deep to find artists constantly pushing sexually subversive subject matter. 1972, for example, this artist named Vito Acconci performed a piece at a gallery in New York called Seedbed, in which he hid behind floorboards at the gallery, and he was hooked up to a microphone while he masturbated when gallery visitors walked around the gallery. And that piece has been canonized. You can go to the Met right now in New York City, find a picture of that piece. You know, and the Met describes it as a sort of a seminal work that transformed the gallery space. Robert Mapplethorpe, for example, in 1978, he has a self-portrait that was lionized, very famous now, of himself staring at the camera while he inserts a bullwhip into his anus.
So, Maria, I just want to jump in for a second, because while these may not have been in the school setting, others did call these pieces of art out. I mean, how they were funded, whether it was a foundation or public funding from, you know, the NEA. I mean, these things have not been uncontroversial. It just wasn't at a school, at a college, for instance.
Right, but within the art world, they've been canonized.
Right.
You know, and so they're integral to the art history canon, to the way that schools teach art. So within this context, Saul Levine saw it as sort of a benign act when he showed his video of himself having sex to his students.
We are seeing a policing of the curricula. To put it in the jargon of the left, we're seeing domestic neoliberalism. We're seeing an attack on academic freedom, on the agency of the students. They are being infantilized.
That's Mass Art Professor Saul Levine, former Mass Art Professor. So he's arguing, Maria Garcia, that schools are taking away the agencies of students, that, you know, the ability to make decisions. But wasn't he complaining to administrators about the video also an act of agency? Wasn't the students complaining to the administrators their act of agency?
Yeah, I think it's very arguable that it was. And, you know, art as a discipline has really prided itself on accepting diverging thought. So we have to remember that students as a body are not monolithic. I'm sure there are students who see this as just part of art education. But what's more telling for me, Jill, is that this illustrates that art is not immune to the powers of the world. It is of this world. It is part of the world. And so it mimics hierarchies. It mimics power structures of the world. It's incredibly patriarchal. And historically, men have controlled the narrative, the canonization, the institutions of art. So despite art's sort of esoteric nature, it's not exempt from the ills of the world. It's a trait that lionizes mostly white male egos. It sort of deifies creative geniuses. And some would say it gives them the license to abuse.
There is so much to unpack here, and we're not going to have time in the next minute, but I do want to bring this back to mass art and look at the something that is an ethical question that many people are saying, that an art professor in the classroom asking his undergraduate students to pose nude for him clearly crosses a line. What are we hearing about that?
Well, look, it goes back to the power dynamics of art as an industry, right? You can't ignore that Nixon is an acclaimed artist. His work has been collected by the Met, by the MoMA, by the National Gallery of Art. And so in an industry that works on favors and networks, like so many industries do, for young art students to break into a gallery in a museum scene, young art students who want to break into these scenes, they can face tremendous pressure when they're sort of in a tricky situation with someone whom they perceive as a gatekeeper, with someone whom they perceive as having power to grant them access to the world of fine art that they want to break into.
This is a beginning of a conversation and an interesting story for you to be covering in these times. WBUR arts reporter Maria Garcia, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Radio Boston.